Hi guys, my name is Ozioma and you're welcome to my podcast. Here I talk about my life from the standpoint of faith, career, relationships and everything else in between. And today we have a special guest of honors. She's really nice. We have a special guest of honor here, and she's an amazing person I've met recently, in person recently, but even before now I've been stalking her online. So she's very inspirational. Let me not talk too much. She's going to introduce herself to us. She's an industry professional for over 15 years. So much wisdom. I'm going to soak up so much wisdom, and I just thought to share as well on this. But I have actually soaked up lots of wisdom just from interacting with her and all of that. And so, yeah, let me stop talking at this point. Hi, Fumi. Lovely to meet you.
Hi, Ozioma. Thank you. It's been great catching up with you this week.
Yeah.
Awesome knowledge exchange, really. Yeah. And so I'm so happy to meet you and to be doing this. This really means a lot to me. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. Her schedule is actually so tight like this week. So I'm very, honestly, I'm honored and I'm privileged that she's agreed to do this. So Fumi, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay, myself, who is Fumi? So typically I start by talking about my professional life. So I am an engineering and strategy professional. I work in a multinational organization as a leading performance advisor, which is largely strategy, you know, deploying strategy as an organization in the organization, helping us to do better what we do and stay competitive long term. And as a personal brand, and very recently I've learned to say that because I realize I'm more than my job. Mm-hmm. And so as a personal brand, I call myself a transformational insights translator. Wow. Simply because I like to translate life events to people and just make things as relatable as possible so that key nuggets are not lost because people don't understand them. So that's right. Why I say I'm a transformational insights translator. You know, very recently I did some work on just trying to analyze myself and developed a tagline, you know, when I think about, you know, who I am. And I call myself tenacious, conscientious and inspired, because that's like the summary of who I am, and we're going to probably touch on some of those as we talk through our tips today.
Thank you so much. This is a very, let me tell you guys, she's been very modest, but it's okay, we can work with this. I think I really like what you said about being more than your job, because I find out that a lot of times when people say, Gemma, I'm like, should I tell them where I'm coming from, my village, should I tell them who I am? So I think it's very important to have, you know, a way to describe yourself outside of, I call it the transient bits of life, outside of your job, outside of your family, outside of your studies. Who really are you, you know? So yeah, thank you so much for sharing about yourself. Guys, like I said, she's very modest. Check her out. In brief terms, what was your journey to your current role? Did you always know that you wanted to work here? I know like a lot of interesting people here, all these musicians, say they've always known they wanted to play guitar from the 2 months they spent on the earth. Someone like me right now, I have an idea of what I want to be in the next 5 years, but to be honest, it's not really clear. So if you hear that after this PhD, I've opened a book up, please.
by all means be you.
So yeah, you know, really involved. So do you want to share how, you know, what's your journey to this current role? Did you always know you wanted to work in this industry?
Okay, so when I think about my journey to this point, so in my introduction, I kind of left out my academic history. Yeah. So I'm an engineer. I said I'm an engineering professional. So my bachelor's is in engineering. I'm a mechanical engineer. And so leaving school, I was sure that I wanted to do engineering and just put my engineering to practice. However, when I started thinking about, you know, what I wanted to do for like higher education after my first graduate degree, I was caught between, do I want to go discipline as an engineer or think about something in the management space? And then I found out that the kind of roles that I started getting, so while I'm working in the core engineering function, I was getting some more project management roles, people interaction roles, interface roles. Yeah. And so I started seeing that management angle to engineering for me. And because of that, it sort of changed my perspective around what I really wanted to do.
Yeah.
So by nature, I am very analytical. So I'll say there's bits and pieces of it that was exploratory. I started understanding as I was going, but there were some things that were just in it.
Yeah.
And so I would like to know why. Why is this important? Mm-hmm. How does this contribute to the bottom line? Why are we just making the decisions that we do? And so my engineering work started morphing. And then I did an MBA And so again, my perspective shifted a bit more. You know, I started feeling more in tune with management, even though within my engineering domain. So I didn't forget engineering, but I just started thinking about it from the bigger picture, because any industry is still a business long term, you know, at the end of the day. And so that's how that passion for strategy has been increasing. On top of my MBA, I have a master's, again, which is somewhere within the field of engineering and management. And so right now I'm doing a DBA. So I've always just liked to be at the intersection of my domain knowledge, engineering and management. And this strategy role that I'm in right now is so perfect. And really, when people say, what do you want to be when you want to grow up? I feel like I want to be like, you know, like in the corporate leadership of it, like my multinational that I'm in, more in the strategy function, because I think I want to know what makes the difference for us. Mm-hmm. You know, how do the day-to-day things we do drive us towards the overall picture? So I think it was, if you ask me whether I've always wanted, known that I would be here, maybe not, but there have been things in me that have been steering me in this direction, and of course the hand of God towards this passion. And so it's been a mix.
Wow, really lovely. I don't know. I don't have a thing against people. I envy them when they say, "Oh, I always know what I wanted to be." But I think I find comfort in the fact that when I hear stories like yours, how like life is you morphing into different forms of yourself. But then when you look back from like now, you begin to see how these things have probably always been in you. But just as you grow through life, you begin to see, okay, yeah, this is why I'm being drawn towards this part. So.
Absolutely. Uzoma, because you know, one of the things I was thinking in my head when I was saying, what am I going to say to Uzoma, is one of the points I noted, and I'd read it recently from, I heard it and somebody else say it recently, that we live life in trickles, but we live a trail.
Right.
You know, I do these reflections on LinkedIn, and one of them, you know, one of those days was looking at what I applied with, you know, 15 plus years ago, when I wrote that one of my strengths was being analytical. And I think about today, that's one of the things I say, it's analytical.
Yeah.
Now, analytical has taken on different shapes over
the
year.
Yeah.
But there's
the
been
core,
that kind of thread. And then I see some things I do, like communication and things. I'm like, there's been that pattern all along, but I was morphing, and then it was all coming together gradually into, you know, making it where we are today. So I like to talk, so let me stop talking.
So no.
Ask the next question.
Please, like, I feel like if I was going to pay for this, I cannot afford you, Mas. So let's keep going. All right, lovely. So, like, we had discussed even before now, and you said already on this episode, you've been in the industry for about 15 years and all.
Yeah.
I'd like to ask, what advice can you give to any person in the early stage of their career? Because I consider myself still being in the very early stages of my career, same as a lot of people that listen to this podcast. So what advice or what key things would you say to anyone who's just starting out, you know, on their career journey as well?
So you see, that's a very important question. And every time I think about talking to somebody that's coming behind me, almost like writing a note to my younger self, I look at the things that shaped some of my perspective to this point. And so I had this manager at work, and when I joined, barely 1 year, he had this session with younger employees called a mentor moment. And he said a few things. I took notes then in 2008. Sometimes I still see the printouts from it every once in a while. And there were key nuggets that have sort of helped me through my career.
Yeah.
And I always like to touch on a couple of those. One of that is that, and some of this is not just him, is I've also added my flair to it as I think through some of the things that I've gone through.
Yeah.
But for early careers, I think it's very important that you have a very strong base. Strong base in that, you know, whether you're going core technical or management, or you really need to do the work to understand the core of the domain or the skills, because there's no trading that core.
Right.
Now, at the same time, the next thing I'm going to say is almost going to be almost counterintuitive. At the same time, very early on, you need to start learning to be rounded.
Hmm.
And so one thing he said is, beyond your technical skills, no communication skills, people relation skills. Because at the end of the day, whether it's teams you're leading, or you're leading an organization, or even your own personal business, all these other elements can make a technical product just go south. You can have the best technical product, and because you have poor relationship skills, or you don't know how to communicate your ideas to people, it falls flat. So I would say, beyond building the technical base, you have to be rounded all at the same time. So you have to invest in that, you know, continuous learning.
Yeah.
I like to think that, you know, one thing I missed out in my introduction is that I say I'm a system thinker. And that's because over time, I've realized that sometimes we make decisions in isolation and forget that things are related, they're connected to one another.
Yeah.
And so as a career person, you must realize that the journey of your career is a marathon, it's not a sprint. And that's because as a sprint, if it's a sprint, you dash out, you run, and you know, before you know, you're out, even if you're out of breath. But that's a bad strategy if you're doing a marathon, because if you're out of breath in the first 100 meters, believe me, I don't know what you're going to do. You're probably just going to drop out of the race. And so the decisions that you make, the personal development choices, the trade-offs you have to make early. Yeah. So maybe, you know, leave a job and go do a training, or do a job and be learning at the same time,
right,
or take a certain kind of job in an industry that is more aligned with your skills,
yeah,
and that helps you grow, as opposed to one that pays you money, but there's no end in sight.
Because trade-offs.
You're thinking, thank you, that's the word, you're thinking trade-offs, because you know that it's a marathon. So you must do that and understand the skills that are relevant for your industry today and be current enough to know what's evolving. Some of the jobs we have today, they didn't exist 5 years ago,
right?
So as somebody who is starting, you don't just wait and think everything's going to be handed out to you. You need to be proactive about your life journey. And so again, when I think and summarize everything, I'll say be a continuous learner, because that's what if I walk past you and I see something that you've done and I don't know it, if I'm not asking you, I'm asking Dr. Google. So you have to always have an appetite for learning, because right, it's important that you grow, that continuously you're growing your mind, you're growing your skills, because you never know when these things are going to come to play. And then it automatically changes your perspective.
Right.
Most importantly, I'll say be authentic.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's one of my core values.
Authenticity is key.
Yeah.
And I liked it when I read it, you know, when I saw that you said that, because for me, I say authentic, I say intentionality,
yeah,
because everybody has a unique perspective. We have unique journey. We have, even if we're twins or we're kind of going on the same journey, the things we see are slightly different. And so
yeah,
I think as a career person, we just said you leave a trail.
Yeah.
You need to be authentic, because by the time somebody tells your story, if 10 people that knew you at different points in your life talk about you, is there going to be any commonalities, or you're just not going to recognize the person that's being described? So it's important that you're intentional, you know, about that. So pretty much.
Well, oh my goodness, you guys, I'll so start charging people for listening to this podcast. Oh my goodness, I feel like you've said so many things, but some of the things that you said are very important messages that should be passed. So like my generation, especially when you say about, you know, the journey being a marathon, I feel my generation, I say my generation because I'm also very guilty of it, we deal a lot with burnout, you know, burnout in our career, burnout in our relationships. And I think maybe because we are the fast food generation, so microwave bread, microwave indomie, microwave rice, microwave everything. And so because of that, it's hard to play the long-term game. So you see a lot of times people making career decisions just because of the, is it good for me now? Is it a better decision now? And it might be a better decision now, but in the next 5 years, it's really going to be a better decision. So I really love that you spoke to that marathon beat, and I also loved that you mentioned authenticity, not because I like to talk about it. Not because I like to talk about it,
but
it resonates with me, and also because again in our generation there's the temptation to want to be, you know, so you want to be like your manager, you start to dress like them, you start to talk like them, your accent starts to shift based like the way it happens to me. And it's such a timely reminder to know that if you are going to make your mark in an industry or in a company that you work in, you need to early on be authentic, genuine, have a personal brand.
Absolutely.
That is unique to you, lean into your unique strengths.
Absolutely.
Rather than trying to, you know, copy and Ozeama, it's not your
podcast.
It's not your episode.
It's almost like you can read my mind and my brain and some of the things that, you know, I probably would talk about, you know, some of the things that you're touching on. And so I totally agree with you. It is very important because you're understanding yourself, and which is probably something that I'll still talk about. So don't let me just wait for you to ask
okay, maybe I
question.
Should also mention at this point that she does a lot of like reflection on her LinkedIn, so please check her out. And she has a podcast, she has a blog. So guys, to be honest, I feel like whenever we hope or pray to be better, there's people around us or in this world already doing the things that we aspire to be like. And if you're Christian or you're religious and you pray and pray and pray, well, God blesses people with men, and some of those, that kind of blessing is in opening up yourself, seeking it, you know. Wisdom is like out there deposited in different people, deposited in their experiences, deposited in their reflections, and you need to continually surround yourself with them, you know. So yes, listen to this podcast over and over again. And please like check out her podcast as well, and her LinkedIn and her blog. She does a lot of, like, I'm not just saying it because I mean, but it's really important for us to surround ourselves with this type of wisdom and often too. Okay, so moving on in our questions. What three things did you do well that you think that has helped that you think has helped you so far? And I know that being senior level management, you've also seen, you know, young people coming to the company, you know, and all. So what are those things that you've seen that helped you, but also, you know, in other people that you've seen come up and you can say, yes, this is a game changer if you want to do well in the industry?
So I would say that, and I'll deviate slightly from what I kind of thought in my head, because when I hear the question right now, one thing I talk about a lot, and sometimes I sound like a broken record in my reflection on this context.
Right.
Every industry, every organization, every team that you find yourself has something unique. And I think first off, just even understanding what are the rules of the game? What are the spoken and unspoken rules of the game of the industry that you're in? Sometimes you can even be in a company that has like a global company, but that the local business unit that you're in has their own unique, you know, requirements. So there are some companies that, you know, you can go, everybody's on a first name basis, or on paper it's on a first name basis, but you know that in your local environment, when you just say it, some people just cringe when you say it. You just know that, you know, that's so that's some unspoken rules of the game. So I think that for anyone to thrive in any company, any industry, you must understand context, because that allows you to make sure that you're making your decisions bearing that context in mind. But when I think about my overall journey in terms of career, one of the things that I think has worked for me first is just that my faith in God. And I say this because over time I realized that, you know, I cannot separate that my faith from everything else, because it's interwoven. As in, to the point where sometimes you're stuck with a problem and you're like, you know, Holy Spirit, help me at work. And then the answer just comes in the most, in the weirdest of ways. And so that for me, because I, you know, I say today, oh, okay, I've done this, I've done that. Somebody else is looking at me. But there have been times that I feel like, oh, no, I want to do something else. Or maybe I feel like I should be somewhere else, or maybe at a certain level. But I look back on the journey and I see consistently that I've seen God's hand moving me along. And so I've always had that sense of purpose. There's a reason why I'm here. If I'm on this team, if I'm on this job, there's a reason why I'm here. So I put everything into it, because I'm one of those people, when I said I was conscientious, tenacious, and inspired, where I believe that anything that's worth doing at all is worth doing well. I don't believe in half measures. Life is going to deal all sorts of cards at you, and believe me, I've had my fair share of them. But the fact that what you do in response to it is very important. And so for me, I'll say my faith, that sense of purpose, but most importantly, self-discovery. You know, you talked about strengths earlier, and I said, you know, was one of the things I thought I would talk about on this podcast. From the days of even trying to apply for a job, when they ask you what's your strengths and your weaknesses, and people just draw a blank. It's a very dangerous thing to do, because you see, when you don't understand yourself and you don't know what fits in with your journey and what does not fit in with your journey, what fits in with your values. Because sometimes too, when you go and you're like, everybody doesn't know where you fit, and they bring all sorts to you. But if you know very early on what does not fit with you, as soon as you get somewhere, you're able to communicate that, or even show that they can tell, and sort of things don't even come near you at all. In fact, in a sense, it's a preservation. In addition to just starting out like that, over the years, I've consistently invested in just trying to know myself more, understand my strength, my weakness, take all this, you know, behavior analysis, leadership courses. In fact, one of the classes I took at MIT was like almost like the major game changer for me. Ultimately, it was at the point where I finally started asking myself, what do I want to do? You know, why am I here? Why do I have the whole combination of skills that I have? And since then, I've just gone from intentionally hiding to just like, you know,
out there.
Like I told you that, you know, I told you the other day that my 2 year ago self would just cringe at like, really?
I wouldn't imagine
myself having this conversation because, you know, so if I want to be, you know, succinct and answer these questions appropriately, I'll say my faith, I'll say understanding self and building on it, you know, finding yourself, finding your strength so that you can place your strengths. Not every job fits everybody. People have things that they do great at, and just, you know, focus on that. From time, I like to communicate, I like to present, I like to think through things, create content, and that sort of helped me to chart a sort of unique path
for yourself,
you know, in my career, and just draw me to some skills or to some jobs, and has helped me. And I think that grit, you know, tenacity, life throws all sorts of balls at you, and that's why the whole concept of marathon, where you know that it's a marathon and you're getting tired, you're getting frustrated, you realize, well, we have to keep going because there's still
a whole long journey
ahead. So I think that's very important. But conscientiousness for me is, if it's worth doing at all, then it's worth doing well.
Right.
No half measures.
Yeah.
Work needs to be done, and it must be done.
Some
people like to chill out, relax, and then you complain when other people get benefits for the work that they do.
Wow. I don't really know what Indomie generation has done to you. You seem to have come for all our meetings. Wow, goodness. So many things. Because of time, maybe I will not recap on each of the things that you're saying, but that point about grit is, again, it's a personal encouragement to me about, you know, I talk about this book often, Outliers by, I forgot his name, but it's a book about, like, why are successful people successful? And if you read that book, you understand that much more than we want to think or admit, success has a pattern, you know. Gosh. And one of the key determinants in the lives of successful is grit, resilience, beyond I think I'm mixing the books, both of them, Outliers and Grit. There's another book, Grit. Yes. And so, you know, the ability to say beyond talent, beyond, okay, I just found myself in this place, my parents are rich, or I'm a privileged child, beyond all of these things, grit and resilience is what makes the difference, you know, long term. So in the same vein, you know, what three things do you think you would stay off of from your experience? I don't know if you're happy to talk about it,
I'm happy to talk about it, because it's a lesson I've learned recently myself, and I feel that, you know, learning this early on is very important, because I really thought hard about it. And I think one of the things that I found is just mentors and sponsors. Growing up, my dad, he's late now, was very strict. So I tended to just stay away from, like, those who represented grown-ups to me, which at work is like your managers or seniors and all. And even sometimes when people would sort of express interest in me, I'll just be like, please, just let me just stay. But over time, I've found that, you know, and in recent times, I've been really exploring, asking people, what's your success formula? What is it? Even technically in business, a whole range and sphere of life.
Yeah.
And everybody comes back with, you know, one thing they come back with, there are so many others, is mentors and sponsors. Sometimes you discover things, you know, on your own, but sometimes too, you have the benefit of talking to others who have seen other aspects of life. And that's, you know, mentors. Now, just because they've seen it doesn't mean you have to toe that path. But now you make more informed decisions, having understood some of the range of outcomes, you know, possible outcomes ahead of you. There are decisions you make sometimes because you don't even realize that there are opportunities and places because, well, somehow, because of the people that are currently in your sphere of influence or conversation, they never experienced that, so you didn't even know. And so you're tearing yourself away from a potential opportunity area. So I think that in getting mentors in different aspects of your life, it doesn't have to be that one person that tells you everything. You don't have to talk their part, but somebody who is doing well in, like, the field that you're in, or that you're aspiring to be, somebody who maybe who's doing well in their faith, somebody who is doing well with combining faith, business and stuff, because that in itself is a skill. And so you need mentors. Sponsors are great because they're like senior people, and I recently learned that distinction like a couple of years ago. They are senior people who maybe they don't talk to you every day, but they can speak for you in the places you can't get through the door to talk to, and that's very important. So because you're there, and unfortunately if they don't know what you know, or they don't even know your interests, or, you know, they're just there.
And those opportunities come up, they won't think of you.
Exactly. That's the point. You have to be on the top of their mind. The other one is just, and it's closely related, I said, it's owning your journey. Often, you know, we're told, having gone through school, you write exams, your teachers mark them. And so at least there's always that senior person who's seemingly holding you, teaching you and all. But when you get into career, at some point, you need to own your journey. It's not just your supervisor, your manager. Everybody is trying to run their own race. And while sometimes they might be interested in you and trying to help you, they're on their journey. And so you need to own it on time. You need to be able to say, where do I want to go? You need to let the right people know what you're doing, because a lot of times we put in the effort, you're behind your desk, you're thinking, yeah, it's going to come to me. So a lot of times it won't come to you. You have to learn to talk, you know. And so it's one thing to work, and it's another for people to know what you're doing. Now the last part I think is around networking, which is related to mentors, but it's just around growing your sphere of influence. I started, you know, initially, and then somehow I just kind of stopped. And so I started becoming like, I like my space, I like to be in my world. While that is great for creating content, for thinking through stuff, at the end of the day, it's not good long-term for impact. Because it's almost like a domino effect. You know somebody who knows somebody who knows, and often people are able to get through doors through in the information that circulates in those sphere. And so beyond getting buried in your technical work, you need to be networking, knowing those that are in your sphere, those that are around you, your neighbors, your colleagues at work, your people, professional circles, people that are just believers who are trying to get do right at work. The more you open up that sphere, the more, you know. And so in the last 2 years, like I said, it has almost been like, you know, where have you been for me? You know, and the more I start to practice that, I've seen a radical difference.
Right.
In certain aspects of my life. So those are things that if I knew, I'll start earlier.
Amazing. No, you've told us so we can start earlier. Thank you so much. Our time is running out, so I'm trying to, you know, be very brief, but thank you so much, especially when you spoke about networking. My goodness, I think we had this conversation yesterday about Uzoma before. We never have, you know, texted. Why are you texting another person and asking her if she's going to be at the conference? Like, why won't you mind your business? But like, look at this, is just one of the products I myself have been personally. I was sharing with her when I watched her present, it was 2 days ago, and I was saying that, okay, and may I need to up my game, because she gave me some feedback as well on my presentation and all of this because, you know, somebody decided to just reach out. So thank you so much. In second to last question, I'll merge both of them together. So an AI woman in engineering, Christian, have a family of your own, and these are like unique combinations that typically might make, you know, career difficult. Women in engineering, first of all, is a whole different ballgame. And then with your family as well, it's like, oh, what am I even doing here? And to be honest, I think you've done really excellent. When she was telling me about her degrees, I'm cold was... I mean, it's already cold in Manchester. I was just shivers.
You're well on your way already. You're being modest.
No, but honestly, I was like, you know, and I just want to ask, what do you think? Because, I mean, it's difficult, you know, and the kind of industry we are in as well, the kind of roles that would definitely come to you. I don't know, have you, anyways, just speak to us about that, you know. How have you been able to overcome the stereotypes that come your way, and what are the unique challenges that you faced, you know, as a woman in this field, and how would you advise, you know, young women, especially maybe starting out, but also quite established in their field?
Okay, so I guess the way I'll answer that question is, being a working woman with a family is work. It has its challenges, especially if your value system is to make sure that you excel in life and work and have a well-rounded life, because there are people who cannot pick and choose and do things differently. But you know, if you really are looking to have a well-rounded life, it puts a bit more pressure on you, because sometimes just being in a field where women are outnumbered is challenging, because just think of, even without a bias, if somebody wanted to give one position and there are 10 guys and 2 girls vying for it, just what's by natural selection, what's the probability that you'd get it? And then when it now makes it worse, when you certain choices of jobs or locations, you don't want to do it because you have family. So I've had to make some of those choices, you know, maybe come back early from a field rotation job at a time where maybe may have had slight impacts on my career in that year. But again, when I think about that whole concept of a marathon versus, you know, a marathon versus a sprint, and the fact that, you know, it's a systemic, you have to think about everything that matters. Yeah. And so looking back, it's been great. Yes, I've had to make certain sacrifices, but I think I also am somebody who does not believe in excuses, right? So when I'm in somewhere, if anything, I like to prove to you that because I'm a woman here, I'm going to do great. Now, I know there's a school of thoughts who believe that, yeah, it should be made easy for you. You shouldn't have to do that extra work. But until then I'm not going to take the excuse. I will put in the extra work to make sure that I do not drop the ball.
Right.
And I continue to account for the things that matter. Now, what that does is that over time, you start to build a track record of credibility. And they know that when Fumi is here, she's 120% here. And so over time, they can cut you some slacks every once in a while. I need to pick up my son here. Okay, that's fine, because I know when you're here, you're here. So I think for me, that's one of the things. Put in the work when you can. Make sure that you don't become that, oh, we're making excuses for her, she's a woman. Don't make excuses for me.
Yeah.
Now make, give me opportunities, I want it. But if it's not coming, or maybe you give me that opportunity, I make it count. Because if it means I have to put in a little extra to make sure that I gain that respect. And over time, I've seen those kind of scenarios come up in the course of my career. And over time, being tenacious, being that person who doesn't put in half measures has helped me. And so there's no shortcut to the work. You have to work.
You're going to have to work. Ladies, can you hear this?
You're going to have to work.
I think for me, I've, you know, sometimes when you surrounded yourself with the idea of you, okay, women in engineering, women in tech, we're quite out number. There is the tendency for you to now start self-pitying yourself, and you know, you're just wallowing in excuses. Oh, no, the reason why I did. Now, it's hard. In some context, it is hard, it's difficult, but then you also have to own the journey and say, for me, I'm going to make it count. So when people say, Fumi is at work, then she is at work, right? And then when she has to be at home, then we know that we can easily cut out that slack because she has put in the work when she has to.
Okay, let me tell you something. It helps you change the narrative for others.
Exactly.
So if you're always wallowing in self-pity, oh, I'm outnumbered, and then they give you every assignment and you give excuses all the time, you're a data point of why we should not have a woman on the next assignment because you always complain. Yeah. But when you've done it at least to the best of your ability, yes, you don't have to juggle it to the point where you lose what's critical, your health and all of that. But if you do it excellently, the next time it kind of opens doors for other people, because they're like, okay, well, this person did it, then let's try this other person. So
that's another extra layer of motivation. But anyways, we are going to round off now. And to be honest, like, it's been a privilege, speaking with Fumi on this. Like, thank you so much for coming. I really appreciate you. And I'm trusting God that by the next time we're featuring WAV,
you know,
facts. Conversation. So thank you so much. And just rounding up, I know I already said we're rounding up. Do you have any last words, you know, for young people today aspiring to rise to your level, you know, maybe very interested in playing the long-term game? Any final words that you'd like to add?
Okay, so I have a couple of final words. So just on to close that chapter on the woman narrative, so that there was a book I contributed, you know, a chapter on personal and biography in it, and one thing I said about women, you know, coming in is that, you know, it's tough enough when you're in a world with men.
Yeah.
But I always say that you need to fit in, don't blend in. Hmm. And so when I say fit in, I took at it from the perspective of a puzzle.
Yeah.
So those puzzles have unique pieces. If that piece is missing, right, you know it's missing.
Right.
But you still have to come into the puzzle. So you need to work like a team, but talking about authenticity, you have to bring your unique perspective to bear.
Yeah.
So sometimes maybe the men have done it a certain way over time, but you bring your unique woman skills to things, and initially they're going to be like, what's this thing? But as over time, the narrative starts to change. So if I do a write-up at work and I add a little flair of like communication, as opposed to how another person would do it, then the next time they know that, oh, Fumi contributed to this. So I would say you need to, as a woman in engineering, you know, upcoming, always be authentic about who you are. There's that tendency to want to blend in and like, okay, start to act like the men, lose some of your core values.
As a woman,
you need to bring your full self to work and be unapologetic about, of course, do it as a team cohesively. But when I say your full self, your empathy, whatever it is that is unique about you, don't sell yourself short because you want to fit into, like, you know, a narrative because you're outnumbered, you know.
Yeah.
As I say that the difference between fitting versus blending is, in a smoothie, if I put one strawberry in a sea of greens and I blend it, it's going to disappear.
Yeah.
That's blending in. Fitting in is, you know, when you eat somebody gave me that analogy of a fruit salad. So when you then cut it up, you know, when you put a strawberry in your mouth.
This is a strawberry.
Right? That's a strawberry. And so those are the kind of things I think you should be careful about.
Yeah.
Now, just for generally, whether woman or not, I'd say that it is your journey. You need to own it.
Huh.
With God on your side.
Yeah.
I've talked about mentors, I've talked about sponsors. They're going to help you. They're going to tell you from their perspective. But ultimately, the value system for each person is unique and different.
Yeah.
And so what you, Ozioma, want to do, or who you want to impact, or your target audience might be different from mine. Might be different from mine. And so it's important that in your career journey, as you stand on the shoulders of others, you still bring your perspective to bear and own that journey, so that as you go through the highs and the lows, you know that you're in it for you.
Mm.
That's one. So I say that, of course, leverage the mentors, network, but always be sure that you're making the best decision for you. And that's why you need to understand who you is in the first place, because if we don't do the work to understand you,
you might be doing the work for a variant of you that's not even you.
That's not even you. So that's very important. I've said it before, I'll say it again, there are no shortcuts to the hard work or smart work. You know, we say smart work, but even whatever it is, just make sure that you're doing the work, because there's nothing as bad as somebody helping you to the top and then you cannot function.
Yeah.
And so people must be able to, you know, the bets that they take on you must pay off.
Hmm. Wow.
So you must do the work so that when that opportunity comes, you can show.
Yeah.
So that's important. I'd say challenge yourself. They say that we women sometimes tend to want to be fully ready before we take on new challenge. Like, oh, are you sure I can do this? And that some people, you know, take it challenge. And I think it's not just women. Sometimes even depending on, you know, where we are, what part of the world you grow up, you're a bit, you second guess yourself a bit. So I'd say challenge yourself. Take on challenging opportunities. All of the things I've done have been really challenging for me. Managing my MBA with work, doing my accelerated master's after that, doing this DBA right now. But I just always push myself. If it can be done, we'll get it done. Of course, sanely, but we'll do it. So challenge yourself. And again, I'll say, start to grow your credibility early. Let people know what you're doing. Consider that trail that you're leaving behind, you know.
Yeah.
Again, we live life in trickles, but we leave a trail. So if you look back on the trail, what do you want to say to yourself?
In the long
term. In the next 20 years, what would you be saying? I wish I'd done differently.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. This has been, to be honest, I feel like I listen to my podcasts over and over again, and I feel like this is one particular episode I will listen to over again, because sometimes you need to remind yourself, especially one common thing that has, you know, come up very strongly throughout things you've said, is just, it's a marathon, you know, play the long-term game. Don't easily gratify yourself, you know, in the short term and then lose the game in the long term.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so thank you so much. I'm going to hug after this. Sorry if I'm not going to say, but I really appreciate it. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. I'll be happy to take your comments, feedback, or whatever you may have. We have to run for a session now, and I told you our schedule is already very tight. So thank you so much, guys. Thank you, and have an amazing rest of your day. Bye.